You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's a great day right here at Inspired News Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mind Your Own Business. You know me, I'm Scott Sullivan, and I am your Sherpa. I'm the person that's going to bring you as a guide through this stream that we bring every single week, all of the things that we leave behind, the golden nuggets that we call them in the stream, where you can pick up some information to help make your life better every single day. That's what we do right here at Mind Your Own Business. Well, this week is no exception. I have a lady with me that I am so excited to, and I know I say this so often and everybody goes, Scott, you can't be that excited about everybody. I am. This is a guest that I have been waiting so long to get on the show, all kinds of different directions with Mind Your Own Business. We have brought all kinds of different definitions of success. And this lady has success in her life in abundance. And I am so excited to have her with us. She is a researcher. She's an author. She's a dentist, someone that went all the way through dental school. But on top of that, she's an expert in public health. She's an expert in helping and giving back to the community through working with the incarcerated population, which I think is fantastic. And if you haven't figured it out already, I am having today as my guest on Mind Your Own Business, Dr. Ronnie Brown. And Dr. Ronnie Brown, how are you today? And please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, Scott. Good morning. How are you?
I am well. And how are you today?
I'm doing great. And I can't tell you how much I've been looking forward to being a guest on your show. I know it's been a couple months of planning and getting our schedules together, but I am so excited to have this time and conversation with you.
Well, I appreciate it. I let the cat out of the bag and said you're a dentist, but you are so much more than a dentist. And I want you to just take a couple of minutes and tell us a little bit about the Dr. Ronnie Brown story. What is it that you're doing right now, not only by working with the incarcerated population, but in the larger scope of things? I mean, you're an author, a best-selling author, and you also have, you know, all of this public health background. And right now, when we're having this recording, we're kind of in the, I don't want to say in the throes of, but we're still in the midst of this COVID pandemic. So this could not be any more apropos than to be talking to somebody ripped right out of the headlines and talking about public health.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, to answer your question, I am a dentist. I work at a medium security correctional facility in Northern California, where I've been working for the last 23 years. In the process of working in that with that population, I got my master's degree in public health. It was always a goal of mine, and we can talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But I think the basis of my interest in public health is I really feel a commitment that everyone has a right to be able to access healthcare at even a basic level, to be able to prevent disease, to be able to prolong their life, and to be able to minimize transmission of communicable diseases. I then got my specialty training in dental public health at UC San Francisco and did my research really associated with my work on inmates, seeing the oral effects of substance abuse, specifically the oral effects of methamphetamine abuse. So I did research on the oral effects of methamphetamine, and that research got published. And I think that provided me with a degree of expertise, obviously, on the oral effects of methamphetamine. And from that research, I began to lecture both nationally and internationally to dental audiences to help educate them, to allow them to be able to recognize who in their practice may have a substance use disorder, how to communicate their concerns, and then how to treat patients in ways that can keep them safe, in ways that are appropriate treatment plans and also realistic for the challenges and the complexity of challenges associated with someone who has a substance use disorder. And then in June, last year I wrote a book called A State of Decay, Your Dental Guide to Understanding and Treating Meth Mouth. And the book was launched on Amazon in June and reached bestseller status in 6 categories. So that's hopefully a little bit of a brief overview of who I am and what I do.
Well, and that is fantastic. That's exactly what I wanted to tell our listeners, because you're in for a ride. So strap in, keep your hands and feet inside the ride, because we are going to take The State of Decay, which is the title of your book. Now, I'm going to leave off the subtitle, but I'm going to talk about The State of Decay, and I'm going to open this up like a flower, and we're going to say this is a lens that we can overlay through the entire world that we live in today. I mean, it could be the title State of Decay could be applied to so many different things, but what we're doing it today is we're going to be talking about public health, how oral hygiene and how oral health and being a dentist and being in the dental field has, you know, leapfrogged you into the spotlight of public health, and how this research that you've done and the study and all of the other background that you've done has brought us to a better understanding. And it also, you're educating other doctors and other dentists. You are literally changing the world one dentist at a time. And I am so proud to have you on the show today. So thank you so very much. And I know it has been a challenge getting our schedules, and I'm not even going to tell you how early it is we had to get up to do this interview. Because we both have busy schedules, and we had to get up long before breakfast, as my grandma used to say. You had to get up before breakfast.
Exactly. So. But I'm so glad to start my day with you, and to really have this opportunity to really expand on some overarching concerns as a dentist, and also just, you know, where we are right now, you know, in the world, in the nation, where, you know, we are in the midst of a pandemic. And as a public health professional, obviously, it's a concern. You know, it's seeing the devastation, the lives lost, families disconnected. But as we move through, the aftermath is also equally concerning, because, you know, people are stressed. There's maybe food scarcity issues, housing insecurity, and the patients that are coming to us, and I've already been hearing this from my own colleagues, the patients who are returning to our practices aren't the same as prior to March 16th. They're more stressed. They're more anxious. They've been disconnected and possibly becoming addicted through
Well, alcohol consumption, I just read an article the other day that said alcohol consumption in America is up 340%.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, just alcohol. And here in California, as I know you are also in Northern California, we also have, you know, legalized cannabis. So I'm sure that business is booming right now.
Right. You know, and you know, it's turning to things in the absence of healthy alternatives. You know, we're socially isolated. People aren't able to access support services that allow them to cope with stress and uncertainty. And these times are uncertain for all of us. But it is going to drive mental health issues. It's going to increase substance abuse issues. And we're at a point of pivot where we all need to begin to have hard conversations and talk about things that are difficult and allow our patients to share with us what their challenges are and be able to have resources and tools to equip ourselves with a new patient who's walking into our office.
Yeah. Well, as most of you know, being longtime listeners, and I appreciate all of that introduction and getting us set up for a great show, we always dig into the origin story a little bit. We talk about how you got your feet on your path, on this path, and where this came about. And a lot of times we have entrepreneurs and authors and people that are on the show that, you know, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree, as they say. So, you know, mom and dad were, you know, were entrepreneurs, or my sister or somebody else. So tell us a little bit about your background and how did you get your feet on this path? When did you, you know, did you wake up one morning and say, you know, I know I'm going to be a dentist. I want to be a dentist. That's just where I want to be. And then, you know, later on, did you wake up and say, I want to change the world through public health? I mean, so how did you get your feet on this path and kind of what was your origin story? Where did you come from?
Okay. Well, I don't think I had that epiphany, but I grew up in Southern California, Scott. My in a normal childhood. I'm the youngest of three. My father has his PhD in chemistry, and my mom has her degree in biology with a minor in English. But you know, back in the 1960s, grew up very traditionally. My mom stayed home till I was probably in sixth grade, and my dad was the primary income bearer. And when I was, I think when I was young, I really wanted to be an Avon lady. I wanted to go door to door and sell cosmetics. Because I remember I was fascinated when the Avon lady would come and give out the little lipsticks and the little samples. And I remember one day putting all of my mom's cosmetics in my wagon and going door to door, knocking on our neighbor's door, seeing if I could give away my mom's cosmetics and perfume. So there was definitely no epiphany there of going to become a dentist. But I do remember, Scott, that when I was 8 years old, I'd gone to the dentist and I was referred to an orthodontist for orthodontic treatment. And I think that was definitely very memorable experience, because my dentist, my orthodontist, was Dr. Marsteers in Southern California, and he was deaf. And he was, I think, the first deaf person who went through dental school. And this was at a point in time where there wasn't the, you know, American with Disability Act. And he went through dental school reading lips. And then he went through a residency program to become an orthodontist. And he was the kindest man, and I always enjoyed seeing him. And we were able to communicate. He was always able to understand what I was saying. I was always able to understand what he was saying. But that was a moment where I don't think I necessarily connected, wow, I want to be a dentist. But I remember it as being a very unique and a very positive experience as a young patient, seeing someone who was very successful, and successful despite that disability. So I did decide to give up the whole Avon lady thing. When I was 13, my dad's job relocated to Northern California, and I finished middle school, and I finished high school. And I think my senior year in high school, I took a psychology course that I absolutely loved. And I decided, when I was applying to college, that I wanted to become a child psychologist. So I went to UCLA and I majored in psychobiology. And I'm always kind of that person that always wants to make sure I've got a lot of options. But I decided to major in psychobiology because I was really good in science. So I wanted that science perspective and that science training, but I also wanted to be able to foster that love of psychology. And it wasn't until maybe my junior year where two things kind of altered that career path. One, I went to the Career Center at UCLA and started to really research what it was going to take to become a child psychologist. You know, I need to get a PhD. And quite frankly, when I kind of looked at the specs on it, I'd have to do this long road of education, which I wound up doing anyway, but the return on the investment was really low. The other thing that changed was I had a friend who was a year ahead of me in dental school she was a year ahead of me in college, but she was applying to dental school. And interestingly enough, I had never thought of that as a career. But as I watched her apply and I started to think about it, I had these wonderful experiences going to the dentist. I always actually look forward to going to the dentist. And I also realized that dentistry was this perfect blend between science, you know, understanding materials, understanding anatomy, but also this blend of psychology, because we're in the profession that is very stressful for the majority of our patients. And so how do we provide treatment in a way that accommodates and addresses the stress and the anxiety associated with dentistry. We're working in such an intimate environment with our patients. So I really felt that it was going to be a perfect blend for me. And so I wound up spending a few months volunteering in the dental school. And I said, I can do this. And I quickly pivoted and applied to dental school and got into UCLA where I did my training. So that's kind of what got me into dentistry. What got me into dental public health was that in dental school, I had opportunities to kind of do extramural rotations, working in clinics that were serving underserved populations, populations that had difficulty accessing oral health, whether it was due to geographic challenges, financial challenges, cultural literacy challenges. And I really enjoyed working with people who kind of had a degree of oral poverty. You know, they didn't have the privilege of going to a dentist every 6 months. They didn't have the privilege of seeking preventive services because they could only seek emergency services. And so I became really interested in dental public health, and I had a great mentor, Kathy Atchison, who headed the dental public health department. She still does at UCLA. And she would allow me to kind of follow along with her on some of her research projects. But the challenge was, this is like now late 1980s, early 1990s. In dental school at that time, dental public health was not discussed as an option for a career upon graduating. You know, what was being taught in dental school is that when you graduated, you associated in a practice for a few years and you bought your practice. And I remember sitting in dental school really feeling a bit of a fish out of water because that really wasn't where my passion point was. But I really didn't know what opportunities would present themselves for me when I graduated, because once again, I didn't have parents who were dentists. So when I graduated, I did came back to Northern California, and I did a residency at the VA hospital, which kind of put me back into a public health environment, working in a hospital and working with a specialized population of veterans. And many of the veterans at that point were coming back from the Gulf War and were presenting with unusual symptoms that weren't really known at that time, but later was found to be due to exposure to chemical warfare. And so that was like a really unique setting to practice dentistry in a hospital with the specialized population. And then when I finished that residency, I went up to University of Washington and I did a fellowship working with a very disabled populations, both developmentally disabled and acquired disabilities. So I would go into a spinal care center where patients may have had a diving accident and were now paralyzed and would be doing dentistry bedside. You know, I'm not in a traditional dental environment, but learning how to provide care no matter where I was. So that, I think, got me into my lane of dental public health.
That's amazing because, you know, talk about, I love this show. What I love about doing this show is that I don't feel like I am the exception. I feel like I'm the rule. I would have, until I had you on as a guest, until we had this conversation, you kind of forget that incarcerated, military, disabled, I mean, there's a whole group of people that don't get up and make an appointment and go to a dentist and sit in a dental chair and have a hygienist clean your teeth and have a dentist walk. I mean, the traditional dental care that we talk about, I mean, you and I have talked about in our, you know, getting to know each other prior to doing the show and getting to understand each other. You have opened my eyes. I mean, mobile dentistry, actually going into the field where there are people that have never seen a dentist and now, you know, doing things that, I mean, if you have a child that has been raised its entire life up until adulthood, having gone to a dentist every 6 months, their care is totally different than somebody who hasn't had dental care for 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 years or ever.
Yes. Right?
I mean, that's a, yes. there's a, that to me is, and I'm sure I'm speaking for a lot of my listeners, because I never actually thought about how does an inmate actually, you know, if you've been sentenced to 3 or 4 or 5 years of incarceration, you know, I guess I never thought about it. So they have to go to the dentist. I mean, just like anything else. But I guess I never really correlated and put it together, just like disabled people. I mean, of course, I mean, it makes perfect sense now that you say it, but it's not in my construct. So I don't see it in my life. So I wasn't able to connect the dots. So thank you for that. So you have combined now this passion of dentistry with the passion of, you know, public health. And then on top of that, you did all of this research and wrote a best-selling book. I mean, it's like, wow. Okay. So, fantastic. Okay. So what's next for you? Where does this take you now as you've got your feet on this path, you've got in your swim lane, and now all of a sudden, you know, what's the bigger picture here? How do we go from helping a medium security incarcerated population to solving the problems of the world?
Wow. You know, a great question, Scott. You know, I think even what you've just articulated, it's really that awareness. And I think, you know, my work at a medium security jail, and I quite frankly have to tell you that if anyone had told me when I was in dental school that I'd be working at a medium security correctional facility, I probably would have told them, you know, where to go and how fast to get there. Because even though I loved dental public health, I would have never thought that I would be working, you know, where I'm working right now, but it definitely put me in my lane. It definitely was an amazing decision that I made and connected many of the dots that have led me to writing the book and has led me to speaking at major dental conferences, both nationally and internationally, on the topics of oral health and substance abuse. And so I definitely will continue being that advocate to ensure that everybody has access to oral health services. I do believe that with the, you know, platform that I have, that it's really important that we create health equity in this country. Oral health is an integral part of someone's overall general health. We all know that when someone has
absolutely
oral health, right, it affects so many other, you know, issues. You know, it's kind of crazy that dentistry is not really integrated into medicine. You know, that it's this out-of-body experience, that the mouth is not connected to the rest of the body. But, you know, Scott, the mouth is the window of everything else. It's what is the portal. And so
exactly.
We, as dentists, we can diagnose diabetes, we can diagnose HIV, we can, we've got the connection between periodontal disease and cardiovascular disease. We've got the connection between poor oral health and poor pregnancy outcomes. And even with what I'm doing, Scott, it's really that connection between oral health and substance use. You know, I can, based upon years of experience, I can look in somebody's mouth and know that what I'm seeing is reflecting methamphetamine abuse, or it's reflecting alcoholism, or it's reflecting opioid abuse. And I really want, as I, you know, through the book and also through conversations that I'm having with dental teams at conferences, begin to open up that window for them to realize that we have this responsibility. We have this, you know, obligation not to miss these opportunities to understand the mental and physical challenges and complexities that then present themselves in the oral health of our patients. And I was talking to a colleague the other day, you know, you could have two patients that have the same amount of decay. But if we apply the same treatment plan to both of those patients, we might have one of those patients who's got an addiction issue. The same treatment plan cannot be applied. We can't base our treatment plan based upon just decay. We've got to base our treatment plan about the complexities of our patients' lives. We have to make sure we individualize and customize it. We need to make sure that what we do keeps our patients safe when they're in our practice. And so I want to really help dental teams feel confident to discover the challenges that their patients have. And they're going to have significant challenges, once again, as we move through COVID, and we experience a segment of our population that is stressed and anxious and buffering both of those things through substance use disorders.
Absolutely. So you touched on something that I want to unpack just for a second, because one of the things that I, first of all, reading your research and getting to know you, I have found that that this in just absolutely indelible link between oral health and, you know, the health of the entire organism we call a human body. So that you are so on spot on that, and people need to realize that for so too many years and for too many decades that it's been a disconnect. Because I remember some of the stuff that I was reading that you had put out is that being able to diagnose those diseases earlier, I mean, you don't need a blood test. I mean, these are some of the things that are like crazy. By looking in somebody's mouth and understanding the pathology of what's going on, you know, gum health, you know, the health of the actual tooth, the, you know, the whole process, you know, sores and pathology of the tongue and the whole thing. I've always wondered why my dentist does so many things. Like, I didn't understand why he would, you know, look at my tongue underneath, right, on the left and on the right. And all of a sudden I ask and he says, well, there are early warning indications. I mean, as early as in the 80s, when bulimia and some of the eating disorders, the way that it was discovered or the way that it was brought to the attention of family members and being able to do intervention in that, you know, social disorder, in that eating disorder, was simply because they went to the dentist and the dentist says, you know, Mrs. Smith, we have a problem here. I believe your daughter may be bulimic, or your son, or what. I mean, those are things that you, unless you're going to a therapist. And that's why I had a gentleman that owns a chain of barbershops on the show last year. And we talked about how, you know, he's sort of like the amateur therapist, because while he's cutting your hair, you're telling them all their questions and problems. It's sort of the same thing, except the mouth doesn't lie. And I don't mean that it's speaking. It's not speaking the truth. It's showing the truth. And I love the research you did on that, because it's so true. We can diagnose things. So if you have poor oral health, chances are you're not going to the doctor either. So you're not finding out that you have, you know, diabetes or high blood pressure or whatever else. And if it's not indicated. So I think you're right. There's a disconnect between, you know, the dental, you know, medical field and the regular medical field. And I think everybody should have a seat at the table, because the entire organism needs to know, right? We need to have mental health. We need to have oral health. We need to have physical health, all of those. Plus, I think we also need to throw in a little spiritual there too. That's only my opinion. I'm only throwing that out there to be radical today.
you're spot on, Scott, you know, because as I said, you know, the mouth is the window to the rest of the body. And there's so much that I can learn about a patient when they just open their mouth. You know, their dietary history, their nutritional history, their substance use history, their signs and symptoms of anorexia, bulimia, diabetes, acid reflux. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And I think the other thing is, you know, that psychology piece of dentistry, you know, when we lean the patient's chair back, we become the therapist. There are things that patients
except we can't really answer when you got all this stuff in our mouth.
You know, we learn how to understand that. You know, we learn how to understand all that. I don't know what it is, but I can have a complete conversation with a patient with a drill, suction, a rubber dam, and I understand absolutely everything that they say. And I'm still asking them questions. At some point, they kind of look at me like, really? Do you really keep talking to you?
So don't ask me a long question, Dr. Ronnie, because you've got, you know, four people got their hands in my mouth and there's 14 instruments in here. So I can't really give you the Gettysburg Address right now.
you know, I think it's in dental school, you learn that other language. And maybe it's called dental ease, not really sure what it is, but it's amazing how you learn to understand a patient that has all these tools and two pairs of hands in his or her mouth.
That's so funny. Well, my guest today is Dr. Ronnie Brown. She is so much more than a dentist. She is obviously a very accomplished, fantastic dentist, and that's not why we had her on the show today, but that is one of the many accolades. But the reason we wanted to talk to Ronnie Brown today for Mind Your Own Business, a simple fact is that she's changing the world one patient at a time out there. She is a expert in public health when it comes to how oral hygiene and oral health is tied to our greater public health of the entire, not only the United States, but literally the entire world, because we haven't even touched on the fact that nationalities, creed, ethnicity, all of these different things have a way of manifesting themselves in your oral health. And she is an expert on that. She's not only studied and done all the research, but she's also a best-selling author, and her book, A State of Decay, Your Dental Guide to Understanding and Treating Meth Mouth, which came about during her study of addiction and specifically methamphetamine and how that is affected. And she is living that every single day by working in a medium security correctional facility in Northern California and putting legs on them on her actions. Like we talk about, my grandma used to say, put some legs on those prayers. We're talking about, she's actually not only just reading about it and researching it and writing about it, she's actually doing it every day. So Ronnie Brown is my guest if you're just tuning in today, and she's changing the world out there one patient at a time through not only dental health, but also the broader, larger picture of public health for the entire United States. And we're so glad to have you here. So what's next, Ronnie? Where do we go from here? So you've written the book, you're already a best-selling author, you've got a great website, by the way, just drronniebrown.com. And Ronnie is R-O-N-N-I, folks, so that you guys know that.
But thank you.
drronniebrown.com, go check it out. What's next for you? Where, you know, you're still saving the world one patient at a time. Now, how are we going to put this on steroids?
I know, right? Well, you know, I'm in the middle of a book tour, right? Virtual, given our current situation, and wanting to just make sure the book gets into the hands. You know, this is such a, I hate to say perfect time, but, you know, as dentists are reopening their offices and making sure we have enough of the PPE and all those types of things, I want to make sure that they get this book in their hands. That they're also, once again, prepared for the changes that they might see with their patients. So I'm in the middle of a book tour, doing podcasts, doing radio shows such as yours. And I also just launched my very first Meet the Author, Meet the Reader book club. And so on that, I've invited people who've read the book to be able to speak to me directly, to be able to get their questions answered, and also to kind of hear from them about, you know, what resonates with them about the book and how the book hopefully will make some changes in the way that they approach their patients moving forward in their practices. I also have a number of speaking engagements lined up for the remainder of this year, as well as next year. I'll be speaking at virtually at Rutgers University. I'll be speaking for the Massachusetts State Dental Association. I'll be heading up to Canada, if things allow me to, in the spring of next year to speak in Ontario. And also we'll have a speaking engagement with the California Dental Association. And then we'll be doing what I do every day, trying to improve the oral health of the patients that I treat and serve at the jail.
Fantastic. We are so, so glad that you're here today. So I encourage everybody, and I want all of you, if you're listening to the sound of our voice right now, don't have to do it now, especially if you're commuting, but when you get a chance, you can go to the Inspired News Radio. We'll put it in the show notes, but the website is Dr. Ronnie Brown, and doctor is just Dr. and then Ronnie, R-O-N-N-I, brown.com. So you go to Dr. Ronnie Brown's website and drronniebrown.com, and there are a fantastic, it's a just a plethora of information there. You need to just peruse the entire website. But I encourage you to do two things. First of all, you can buy the book wherever your books are sold. And of course, it's called State of Decay. And it's so apropos for exactly where we are today. Not only, it's a lens that you can view the entire world through. So it's not only for the dental professional, it's for anybody that wants to read it. It's a fantastic read. And on top of that, if you are a dental professional, if you are just coming out of dental school, if you've just joined a practice, if you've been in practice for 20 years or more, if you, wherever you are in that world, Dr. Ronnie Brown also has a consulting service. So if you want to learn more about how the addiction and how this research has changed the way that dental health is done, she's a keynote speaker and speaks at all of these conferences worldwide, but she's also available for one-on-one consultation. So I encourage you, if you're listening to the sound of my voice right now and you're a dental professional or in the dental health world, or if you're just in the tangentially around that, or if you're just a concerned citizen and you want to, you know, want to pass this information on to your dentist, then you can simply order the book and have it shipped to your dentist or pick it up and drop it off at the office or on your next visit or whatever it is that you can do. But if you are in that world and you want to have Dr. Ronnie Brown as your consultant, that is also services that she has available. She is a very, very busy lady. Let me tell you, from all of the things that she's doing, I told her we need to get her a cape and some letter R on her chest, you know, because, you know, she literally is out there every day trying to save the world. And I am so, so thankful that you took an hour of your life to come and educate us, you know, here at Mind Your Own Business. So any last parting words, anything you want to, one last chunk of wisdom, is there anything either from a dental standpoint or from a public health? And please don't say wash your hands and stay 6 feet apart. If you're not doing that now, shame on you. But can you leave us with one last little nugget? Is there something I should know that I didn't know that is going to change my life because of your background and your experience?
That's a great question, Scott. I really want everyone to know that, you know, as dentists, and it's not just myself, but as a part of this wonderful profession of dentistry, we are so concerned about making sure that we create the best outcomes for our patients. And during this time of, you know, the pandemic, I want everyone to know that this is the time to go back to your dentist to make sure that you have that oral health taken care of. We're here to take care of our patients, and so many of our patients have been disconnected. So, you know, I just want to kind of throw that out, that we want to resume normal services. We want to be that caring provider of care for our patients. And this is absolutely a safe time to return to dental offices. But I also want to, Scott, really thank you for providing me with this opportunity. I've completely enjoyed our conversation. For those who are listening, they can buy the book on Amazon. They can search under its title, A State of Decay, or under my name, Ronnie Brown. And Scott, because you've been such a generous host and, you know, listening to me, I do want to send to you an autographed copy of my book, but I also want to add an additional copy that you can bring to your dentist.
And I would love that.
Your dentist
My dentist is Dr. Jonathan Poe in Fairfield, California, and I will drop it off personally to him. He and I have a great relationship. I'm very weird. I'm like you. I have always enjoyed, I've been very proud of my oral hygiene, and I've never had a fear of dentistry. And that's a whole nother show that we can talk about. But my dentist it's two brothers, the Poe brothers, and Dr. Jonathan Poe is my dentist. And a big shout out to the Poe family, because we will absolutely drop off a copy of the book, and I will send him an email with this show. He's on my mailing list. He's actually one of my listeners. So I will make sure he gets a copy, and I'll also make sure he gets to hear this show, because I think it's super important that we all understand the correlation between oral health and the health of the entire organism we call the human experience.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for being a guest. If I say it every week, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, guys, if you are listening to this show, you are the reason, right? I couldn't do what I do without you, the listener. I mean it. I am sincere when I put out there and I say, we do this for you. This is a labor of love. This is a passion for us. We put out this show every week because I want to bring the best people onto the show that can leave you better than you were when you started. I want to make this hour of your life worth something. I want to make sure that you learn something, and I bring it to you for that reason. Wherever you get your podcast, whether you're Apple or you're Spotify or you're Google, wherever you get your podcasts, just scroll down to the bottom of that page and hit that review, that like, you'll leave a review if you want, or hit that subscribe button. That's how you can show some love, and I appreciate it very much. If you feel so inclined, please leave a review. If you don't like the show, you know, send me a review too, because we are trying to make this show better for you, and that's what we do every single week, and I mean it. One thing I always want to talk about, and that is my platform. The platform that I use, the primary way that I get my podcast out into the world. Of course, I'm available on all the platforms. Wherever you go, you can find me under Mind Your Own Business. But I'm one of, you know, 750,000 or 1,000,002 shows that are out there. And it takes some effort to find me on Apple or to find me on all the other, you know, platforms. The easiest, simplest way is because I bring out my show every single week on Inspired News Radio. And I love the folks over there. Inspired News Radio is a female-owned business with an entire female staff. They do a fantastic job. InspiredNewsRadio.com, the place where positive programs are delivered to the world that are designed to inspire, inform, educate, and motivate. And every single week I talk about them because I'm one of about 50 hosts there. So it's real simple to find me. If you click on inspirednewsradio.com, it's super, super simple to find everything. But the beautiful part about it is because it's that one, those five words we talk about, the word positive, the word inspire, inform, educate, and motivate, all of the shows, everything, every single host and every single podcast, all is about that theme. So we're all bringing you the same message. So you want a respite from your day, you want to turn off the news, and you want a place to maybe get some positivity in your life, go to inspirednewsradio.com and pick any show. It doesn't have to be Mind Your Own Business, although I am a little preferent. I do have a little preferential place in my heart for this show, but there are great shows there, and you can just, you know, pick and choose as you see fit. And we're so happy to be part of the InspiredNewsRadio.com team. So thank you very much to all the ladies over there. They do a fantastic job. If you like what you've heard, tell your friends. If you don't, send me an email or a tweet or wherever. You can find me on all the social media platforms at Sales with Sully, Instagram, of course, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn under Scott Sullivan. Anywhere you go, you can pretty much find me on social media. If you type in my name, I promise you it won't take that much effort. And you can always go to Inspired News Radio and leave a comment. Anything positive, anything that you want as a criticism, we're here. And I encourage you now, as we wrap up, go to drronniebrown.com, take a look at her website, get engaged, leave a message for her, let her know that you want a copy of her book, that you've read a copy of her book, that you want to encourage her for what she's doing to change the world. Leave a positive comment, send over a positive tweet. You can find her also on LinkedIn. The nice thing about it is we'll have those links up for you, but her website will give you a ton of information. Dr. Ronnie Brown, thank you so much for being here. I mean it when I say it, and it's so glad to have you. And I close the show every week the same exact way, and everybody knows it's coming, so here it is. I say it every week. Mind your own business, because nobody else is going to. See you next week, guys.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs in the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.